Welcome to the Padre Island Podcast. Happy to have you again with us here. We're in the Easter season and springtime. It is middle of April and getting this posted a little later than normal, but those of you who are regular, maybe you've been in eager anticipation for what this gospel passage is about and what the Holy Spirit wishes to do with us here in this particular moment. So, passage is second Sunday of Easter, 2026, April 12th, 2026. Divine Mercy Sunday is another way to put it. And the passage is John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written, that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Such magnificent gospel. You know, it's like a finale of a fireworks show, it seems like to me, to where there's just so much going on. And it all happens in a short amount of time. But we can unpack this and reflect on it. And even if it seems familiar, the odds are that the Lord's going to reveal to us something new. Something we need to hear, something we need to know, and most of all, something to believe, in that through that belief in the Lord, we might have life in his name, to have fulfillment, adventure, love, connection, the fulfillment of our desires. So while last Sunday, as exciting as it is for Easter Sunday, the gospel passage left us a little bit unsatisfied, or maybe a lot unsatisfied. Okay, empty tomb, all right? Well, we haven't ruled out Mary Magdalene's theory. I mean, John did see and believe, but it just doesn't feel entirely clear. The ambiguity, the vagueness that we're left with there. Well, that's answered. Very quickly, just in the next passage, well, a couple passages later, but still the same chapter, John chapter 20. Now, the risen Lord is there in the flesh where they can see him. No one stole the body. He rose from the dead and he's right there. How do you know it's him? Well, look at those nail marks. Look at that gash in his side. And they recognize him, his voice. And in another passage, he eats fish with them. Yeah. So let's walk through this and see where it takes us. So the evening of that first day of the week, that's another way of saying Easter Sunday evening, the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. You know, did they have door locks like we do, like from a hardware store? Did they have some kind of thing that was placed over the door, like you see in some of those movies from the Renaissance? I don't know. I don't know exactly how they locked doors back then. Maybe they put a table in front of the door to block it from anyone trying to come in. So there were doors, and they're meant to come in and out of. Remember, Jesus is the gate. He is the way. The gate for the sheep, as it says in John chapter 10. So instead of knocking on the door, Jesus just went right through it. Because he can do whatever he wants. And the risen flesh, the nature of that is such that while he can eat fish, he can also go through walls. So it's this, yes, he has a body, and yet it's not the same kind of body as before. It's the risen body of Christ. So that's curious how that works. So there he is, right in front of them. And before he could say, "Do not be afraid," he says, "Peace be with you." He's proactive. He's taken initiative. May the tranquility of order and shalom, well-being, life, may that be with you. That's his message. That's the message of Easter. Not revenge or where were you guys, although he kind of says that a little bit in Mark's gospel, but we're in John's gospel here, and the message was peace. That's it. And then from there flows some other things, but that's how he starts it. That's the first word. Kind of like if a bishop presides at Mass right after the sign of the cross, he says, "Peace be with you." So the fullness of holy orders echoes the words of Easter Sunday evening, Jesus' gift of peace. And St. Paul talks about the fruits of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, etc. So peace is the third one there. And then I think it's Ephesians chapter 5. No, 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. So he doesn't mention peace there. But it's definitely clear in the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Doors were locked. Jesus is there. Peace be with you. So in the midst of, are they going to crucify us too? Where did Jesus go? What's going on? Do we believe these women? What's up with that theory of him raised from the dead? Or the theory of him being, the body being stolen? And either they forgot that Jesus predicted multiple times that he would rise from the dead, or they just didn't believe it. But now they will, because he's right there. It's just no doubt on that one. You know, you're at a basketball game, you see one team, there's no way they're going to win. And then the end, they do win. Well, you're left with one conclusion. Now you believe it's possible for them to win. Why? Because they just did. And you were there. And here's Jesus, the risen Lord, right there, speaking to them. "As the Father sent me, so I send you." He's choosing them. He's sending them out. Because the nature of Christianity is not to be stagnant. It's to receive, then to share. Fellowship. It's dynamic. The communal life. Society is meant to receive this message and to blossom with the graces made available. The cross and resurrection is meant to be shared with all who believe, with the whole world. And it's up to them if they want to cooperate. Now, faith is a gift, but it's also something that can slap us in the face when there's an experience like this, or falling in love, or reading a great book, or going on a trip, something that just breaks our heart open in a good way. And it's just something very memorable, something we're thankful for. So the Lord sends them out. A week later, they're still in the locked door, so they're not quite convinced. We're not quite ready. It would really take Pentecost for them to really get out there. So that was 7 weeks after Easter, the 50th day. When he said this, he breathed on them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Those sins you forgive are forgiven them. Those sins you retain are retained." The first installment of the Holy Spirit right here, breathed on them. The Spirit is the breath of God. Connecting back to Noah and the ark, the Spirit hovering over the waters, and various other passages. Seems so mysterious. Yeah, that's on purpose. But here's Jesus giving them that gift. Forgiveness of sins is definitely part of that. If you're in the marriage vocation, the mistakes you make, the responsibility you take, the forgiveness you receive and offer, this is related here. If that can happen in that relationship, that can be a model for the rest of us to follow. Because if someone denies someone, retains their grudge, and not open to repentance. Now, yes, there's people that go through the motions on saying sorry, and that is a different story. Hopefully there can be some coming around in agreement, but now when there really is contrition and firm purpose of amendment and someone taking the steps, then when forgiveness happens, there can be a reconciliation. There can be where sins are forgiven rather than retained. Okay, Thomas called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. Kind of weird that his nickname was Didymus. You know, you would think the nickname would be easier to say than his actual name. Or maybe his real name was Didymus, and Thomas was what everybody called him. I don't know. So, two names, fine. That's a detail that draws us in. We have seen the Lord. That's what they told him. And instead of him saying, are you kidding me? You know, too bad they didn't have video camera back then. They could have got selfies. But without a camera, without proof, Thomas is saying, I don't believe it. And they're saying, well, it's not April Fool's Day. I mean, come on. We're just telling you what we saw. Are you kidding me? Like, all of us saw Jesus. He was right here. You know, even Peter, who denied him three times, he believes it too. I don't care. I don't believe. Only if I see him and touch the nail marks, then I'll believe. So then Jesus comes back a week later, not a day later, not immediately, 1 week. So the end of the octave, the eighth day, 1 week later, doors were locked once again. Peace be with you. Hey, Thomas, come here. He said to Thomas, put your finger here. Do not be unbelieving, but believe. So Jesus satisfies Thomas's request. You place conditions on your faith, guess what? I'll meet you there. That might not be ideal, might not be the best move, but Jesus is going to do something with that. He's going to work with that. Thomas might be thinking, wait, you heard that? You weren't even here when I said that. You don't know, how do you know my thoughts? I see all these miracles you did before, but now you're doing something for me? This must have just blown him away. Changed his life. No wonder he said, my Lord and my God. Have you come to believe because you have seen me? That's a rhetorical question. The answer is yes, absolutely. That's why he believes. And then it's as if the Lord transcends space and time and looks at us and all of these people over the centuries and makes another beatitude, like on the Sermon on the Mount, the eight beatitudes. Here's another one. Blessed are those who have not seen me, but believe. So we believe even without that tangible proof. Now, it's not as if there's zero proof. You know, there's scripture, experience, the sacraments, and it's not left with absolutely no point of reference. But at the same time, the absolute certainty you might be looking for, yeah, it may be hard to discover that without a real experience that's very personal. So, if you've never had that kind of experience of the risen Lord, it's not that you're left out. It's that Jesus calls you blessed because you believe anyway. So that's a great reminder for us, wherever we're at in the faith, and no matter what the belief might be. Now, we're talking about religious beliefs, belief in Jesus, the Son of God, that he sent us out, talking about Trinity, sacraments, all these truths of the faith. May we come to believe in that and hold that to be very valuable And it's part of our testimony, part of what we want others to also see, the truth of the Lord, the grace is offered, and that they might have life in his name. So if you've been divorced, then you too are included when it comes to these blessings. You've seen some difficult things, and yet the Lord is working to bring life to you and your family, even with the brokenness that's there, even the discord and the division that you're surviving. Nevertheless, the Easter joy, the message of the resurrection, is just as applicable to you as anyone else. And if anything, maybe it's even more applicable for you who have experienced heartache. Jesus did many other signs that are not written in this book, but these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, another word for king or Messiah, that through this life, through this belief, you may have life in his name. Connecting back to John 3:16, God so loved the world, he sent his only Son, Christ, the Son of God, so that through this belief you might have life in his name. Through this belief you might have eternal life. So life right now and eternal life. That's contained in the word life. So it's hard to argue with that. I mean, what a beautiful statement. Again, continuing that transcending space and time to reach us. If you wonder, why do we have these rules? Why do we have these laws? So that we might believe in Christ and have life in his name. Why do we go to Mass? To believe in Christ and have life in his name. It's a great summary statement of what we're about. Why are you a priest? Because I want to bring Christ to others, that through that belief they might have life in his name. And I'm hoping for that share as well, as a priest. So, marriage vocation, why would you give of yourself to your spouse? That you and your spouse might come to believe in Jesus, and that through that belief to have life in his name. He gives a great motto, a great summary of what we're about. It's a bit of a catchphrase, bit of a mission statement, you might say, or at least it relates to one. It can be a building block for a very exciting approach to how you live your life. We'll leave it at that. Asking for God's healing in the presence of the risen Christ, going to Mass, listening to a podcast, listening to other Catholic material, it might be great. At the same time, it might be very underwhelming. But if it leads to an encounter with the risen Lord, then it's worth it. And if after all we do, we still ache for a connection with Christ that really is felt, then we, like Thomas, are looking for more. And who knows? Maybe instead of being left out in the cold, maybe the Lord will meet us there and lead us inside, lead us to a new place, a place where he reassures us, a place of belief, life, and fulfillment. For the Lord says, peace be with you, breathes on us the Holy Spirit, gives us access to forgiveness of sins. May we receive his mercy and continue to appreciate the depths of God's love. I'm Father Peter O'Donnell, a priest in Abilene, Junction City, in Chapman, Kansas. Thank you for listening today. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.